You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
This is Women in Leadership Podcast, featuring success insights from women around the globe. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast. This is episode 91, brought to you by Podcasting with Purpose, helping you to stand out, be heard, and become an influential voice in your industry with a podcast. And my name's Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, joining me on today's show is Orly Amour. Now, she is dedicated her life to impacting the lives of 200 million people by helping them realize their own mission-based goals and dreams. Now, her extensive experience as a certified behavioral analyst has made her indispensable as a coach to many influential corporate leaders. Now, Orly speaks three languages fluently. She's an amazing woman. We had a chat before we went live. She's earned her MBA and her law degree. And despite the impressive education and success as a businesswoman, Orly remains remarkably humble, authentic, and a very engaging speaker, which I'm sure you're going to find out in a moment. Now, on today's show, she's going to share why mindset mastery, and she's also going to step us through her journey through what she calls the 12 powers. So welcome to the show, Orly.
Well, thank you so much, Anne-Marie. This is great.
It's such a pleasure to speak with you today, particularly when we hear and see and observe on Facebook and, you know, different technologies around the world. There's a lot of challenges that many people experience through life experience, things that are out of their control. And I love that you're speaking into that when you're talking around mindset, because whilst we cannot change what's happening around us or people's actions, their interactions, we certainly can control how it allows us to be impacted. And once we can master that mindset, I think many of us will start to be able to step forward to reach the dreams and the goals that we have for our lives. But first, share with me, if you would, how did you get into the business that you're doing today, the impact and the message that you're sharing? Is it just something that was born into you, or were there various experiences and circumstances that led you down the path that you're now on today?
Well, thank you so much, Emery, because that's a loaded question. It started, well, I was in property management for 25 years here in the United States of Canada, and only a couple of people knew my personal story. And even though nobody kind of knew my story, just a couple of people, like I said, I still had my own journey to go through and overcome some of the circumstances that I was accustomed to having. Mm-hmm. And I traveled the world following Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, all these amazing guys, Les Brown, and so on.
Yeah.
And I was healing myself, so I didn't need to share anything at that moment. But also, people who go through something like, and I would share with you my story in a couple of minutes, but people who go through traumatic experiences think that they're alone in that circumstance. And they really are. It's just that they think that there's a billboard on top of their head that everybody knows what they went through. Mm-hmm. And there's some shame attached to that. And there's some vulnerability attached to that. And being afraid of being judged or scrutinized or dissected like I was. Mm. And one day, and I was speaking on property management all over the country, so nobody really knew what was going on in my life. Nobody knew that I had something to hide. And I did. I was hiding for a very long time until one of my girlfriends said, Orly, I need you to come and speak at this women's shelter, and you have to do this. And I said, what do you want me to speak about? She's like, I want you to tell your story. And I said, no way, that's not going to happen. Are you nuts? Her and another girlfriend of mine, really, really close friends in Florida who knew this.
Yes.
And I said, you're out of your mind. I'm not doing it. So for 3 weeks, she called me every single day. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And after 3 weeks, I was so tired of her calling. I said, listen, what do I have to do? First of all, there's other speakers that speak on this. Yeah. Why do you want me to speak? She's like, Orly, you have such a bubbly personality. Everywhere you go, everybody loves you and hugs you. And you're like a social magnet. That's her terms, not mine. And I said, Yeah, and what does that have to do with anything, you know? And she's like, well, and you also live the life that most people dream of. Mm. So I want you to come and speak about that and give them hope, you know? And I said, okay, what is it going to take for you to actually stop calling me? To tell you the truth, I don't want to do it. She's like, well, just say yes. Mm. And I said, all right, I'll say yes. And I had to hire a coach because I did not know how to motivational speak, basically what she wanted me to do is share something extremely personal that I did not know how to do. Mm-hmm. And I've been hiding it for so long that when I did it in public, in the public speaking in property management, it was easy. It was something that I did for a very long time. And, you know, it's just problem solving and it's just educating others. But it wasn't the same when you have to share your story. 3 weeks later, after coaching and all that, I go to this women's shelter. Mm-hmm. There's about 170 people there. And that's including the staff and attendees. And something happened after I got to finish my talk. First of all, there was no dry eye in the place, not one. And when I got off the stage, something happened that never happened to me before. Usually in property management, people come to you after you get off the stage and they have a problem this and a problem that. Mm-hmm. But this time around, I was approached by women that I did not know who were hugging me, who were thanking me, who were crying on my shoulder, who were telling me, thank you for sharing. Thank you. You gave me hope. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Something that I had never experienced. All that love and gratitude was overbearing. Really, it was. Mm-hmm. Then there was one lady that came up to me and she was crying profusely. Like you couldn't stop her from crying. She was actually hyperventilating. So I said to her, please, sweetheart, you got to calm down. Breathe. She said, no, you don't understand. I said, no, I do understand. You got to calm down and breathe. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, you don't understand. Now, all around us, everything was quieting down because they were honing on the conversation. Mm-hmm. And back and forth we went. No, you don't understand. And I said, yes, we all understand. And then she yelled at me. She's like, no, you don't understand. I'm telling you, I have goosebumps every time I tell this story. It's amazing. And she took out a piece of paper out of her pocket and she showed it to me. And she said, you see here, this is how I was going to kill myself this morning. I don't remember the drive from my house to the shelter. Because here, you see, that's not where I was going. Mm-hmm. So I heard you speak and I want to live. I just need you to show me how.
Wow.
And here I am bawling. I'm even getting emotional right now talking to you. Every time I tell that story, because it was such a turnaround in my life. Wow. And I started crying. Everybody around us was crying. I was hugging her. I didn't even know what to do with that. You understand?
Yeah.
It was my first time motivational speaking. And then I realized something. It wasn't like, wow, this is cool. It was like more, wow, I just saved a life.
I know. What an impact.
And then I realized, oh my God, maybe that's what I should be doing for the rest of my life instead of solving problems for property management. I was like, this is what I should be doing.
Wow.
And then I took it on full force and I embraced it. I learned everything I had to do about it and started sharing my story.
Yes.
And that's why I'm so grateful, number one, for having the career I have right now. It allowed me to travel the world and do amazing things and not be stuck in an office.
Yes.
But more importantly is sharing my story and impacting lives, not only through me, but through my clients as well, who are speakers.
Yeah.
And I'm helping them get in front of crowds.
Yeah.
So today, even though my bold mission is 200 million people around the planet by 2025, I've declared that since 2010.
Yes.
But today with all my clients, we've achieved 48.2 million.
Wow. Amazing.
It was 47.2, but I think there was another million added since I've been saying 47.
You know, it's interesting you should say that because, firstly, wow. I mean, I often will say to my clients and even people that come, you know, on the show, by each and every one of us sharing our message and our story, it is going to impact lives. Sometimes we don't even hear the stories that, you know, that we impact or that the lives that we impact. And every now and again, someone will reach out and say, you know, that changed the course, the history of my life. And you know, and I'm sure you share this too with your clients too. By not getting out there and sharing your message and sharing your story, someone is going to be stuck. Now imagine if you had have said no to your friend or friends, and you would never have known. But that person, the course of her life has changed, which is so important. And our mission of this podcast network is to impact 1 billion lives. And I remember around the world. I remember one of my colleagues saying, "How are you going to do that?" And I said, "I don't know, but I don't." I said, "Because the people that we are featuring on our platform, it's their message and their message, and it's an on flow, and right. Which is just so very exciting." So let's talk about why mindset mastery. I mean, we've already touched on it, but let's dive in a little bit deeper, because this can often be the area that when people start to become more familiar with, can really change the course of their life too, and circumstance. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. So let me just backtrack 2 seconds. One thing that you said, you wanted a billion people, you want to impact billion people. You know, Les Brown says, the how is none of your business. You're going to do it. That's all that matters. You're going to do it, and you're going to stay on course, and the how is none of your business. That's what he told me too, but he tells that on stage. And I basically also did not tell you what my story was and what, yes, I did share on that stage.
Yes, please.
It's going to take me 18 seconds exactly. You can time me. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm over it. So I don't want people to get hung up on the story itself.
Yes.
Yes, I've been through quite a bit, but many people have. Mm. And it's not a competition. It's just that we all live it differently.
Yes.
I was a beaten up child. I was molested 4 times before the age of 14. I was raped 3 times before the age of 22. And I was gang raped twice in a 9-month span where I actually was left for dead in a very cold alley. Actually, the doctors could not believe that I actually survived that, because it was 3 days each time in a very below zero temperature Celsius.
Wow. Yeah.
And I should have died from either hunger, dehydration, or hypothermia. And nobody understands the miracle that has kept me alive either way. I was also married to a very abusive husband, both mentally and physically. And I had 4 abortions, and all that baggage, if you will, led me to gain a morbid amount of weight. I was 428 pounds at my heaviest. Mm. So yeah. Having said that, you know, I had to go through my own journey of healing and of forgiveness and of things that I had to overcome. I went through all these gurus and read the books and listened to the CDs and just did my own journey of healing, of understanding. I also took some psychology classes just to understand, what does the brain go through?
Mm.
And after a while, I was a very funny story. I was a Tony Robbins groupie.
Mm-hmm.
I went to San Diego to watch a Tony Robbins conference. And at these conferences, you meet amazing people.
Yes.
And I had been around the world following him. And then 10 days later, after that seminar, I went to Paris. And I went to a Tony Robbins event again. And when I walked into the auditorium, I saw the same people I met in San Diego 10 days ago.
Wow.
And here's what I was thinking. I was, what are they doing here? Believe me, that's not exactly what I said.
Yeah.
And then the second question was, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Didn't you get the memo? You're following them. You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And you know, they say if you do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, you know, insanity, right? So I was thinking, okay, that's it. Basta. I'm going back to Florida. I'm going to get back into my work and just focus, you know? But it got me thinking. It got me thinking about what I've been through. It got me thinking about how I overcame it. And one of my friends really pushed me to write what I did for myself down.
Mm.
But then I took a couple of classes and realized that I really wanted to write a program. I had a mentor.
Mm.
And in real estate, but he was a very affluent person. And one day we go for lunch together and he says to me, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm just tired of going to all these seminars and reading all these books and doing all these things. You know, I think something is missing from them. That's why I keep going. And so many other people are going. It's the same people."
Yes.
And he said, "Oh, really? What do you think is missing?" I said, I think it's something in the brain. But I'm going to find out what that is, and I'm going to I'm going to find out what it is, and I'm going to go teach it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he was an older gentleman, so he's like, okay, you call me when you get it, right?
Yes, yes.
And I said, yeah, sure, okay, I'll do that. So I'm thinking, okay, 6 months later, I'm calling him up. I'm like, Sir Martin, I wrote the program. I think it's going to work, and I think it's going to change people's lives.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, tomorrow morning, you're at my house, 8 a.m., I want to see it. I'm like, okay, sounds good. So the next morning, and he's an elderly gentleman, so I didn't think about emailing. I printed the whole thing. Spent the night printing, and two cartridges later, I was at his house.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm bringing it over, and I'm thinking, and I'm there early, because usually that's what I do. I'm always early. Mm. So I get there, and I put it on his desk, and he just looks it through, and I thought that he was just going to skim it through, and he wasn't. He was actually reading it. So I'm sitting there drying up because I didn't know what to do. You know when you're at your edge of your seat, come on, say something? It was like that for me. And then he puts it down after a couple hours later.
Wow.
It was 10 o'clock by the time he got done. And he puts it down and he says, okay, I have a few questions. I'm like, this is great. You go ahead and ask because I'm fully charged in doing this. So he's asking me all kinds of questions on the what if, how did you get that information? What exactly do you mean by that? All of it. And mm-hmm. I kept on going and answering. And you know when you're on full adrenaline, you don't feel hunger, thirst, mm-hmm, or anything. Mm-hmm. After a while, he says to me, Orly, do you know what time it is? And I'm thinking, okay, this is not the time for that question, right? And I'm looking outside and I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of dark. Maybe it's evening. Maybe it's 7 o'clock p.m. I don't know. He's like, Orly, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I've been trying all day long to break you down and have you ask yourself if you did the right thing, if you have the right information, that you'll go down and check it, you'll go back to it or whatever it is. But you didn't do that. You answered my questions exactly how you perceived it, and you convinced me. I mean, if you're here for my blessing, this is a good program. You should go teach it.
Wow. Amazing.
So I started teaching. I left it on the desk, actually. It was 6 months later. Somebody said, come to New York to teach that program. And I said, New York? Manhattan? They're like, no, Brooklyn. And I'm like, Brooklyn? Because all I've ever heard about Brooklyn is what I saw in movies, you know, mafia, drugs. And you're talking about a single gal going to Brooklyn, not knowing a soul. No way. But they said, no, come, we'll introduce you to some affluent people, and you'll be able to coach them on your program. Huh. And I'm like, okay, let's try that out. So I did. And it just took off on its own.
Amazing.
And then one of my clients said, you know, you should write a book about this. And I said, a book? Are you kidding? I don't know anything about writing a book. And he said, no, you should. You should. I said, look, I think it takes money to mm-hmm. write a book. And he said, how much is it? I'll finance it. How much is it? That's how much he believed in me.
Amazing.
Actually, that gentleman walked me down the aisle at my wedding.
Oh.
Was my biggest client.
Amazing.
And so he said to put it in a book. So I did. And that book came out last December. It's called The 12 Powers We Hold Within, The Ultimate Paradigm Shift.
Huh.
It has to do with the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still teach it, but more certifying coaches in that program because I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
For
amazing.
So there you have it. This is how it all started.
Yeah.
Mindset mastery is the way to go. You got to have mental toughness and core values and understand how your brain works
mm-hmm.
in order to accomplish that inner strength that you have already.
Yeah.
And
it's so, so true, you know, and I love the way that you're sharing your story and how it's progressed, because everything that you're sharing is really, I mean, the story you shared, I mean, for anyone to have experienced that, it's just horrendous, really horrendous. But what I love is that there was this inner strength in you and you just never gave up on yourself. And how many people, even one of those things, it would have been just dreadful for anyone to have to experience. And they get stuck in that, don't they? And they never reach their full potential. They're never able to impact others and so on and so forth. So, you know, a huge, huge virtual hug for sure. Obviously, at the end of the show, we'll give people more information about how they can access your book and really dive deeper into that. But when we're if you're talking about the 12 powers, what are you often seeing individuals, whether women or men or, and both obviously, where are is their biggest challenge, do you find, that prevents them or stops them from even believing that it's possible for them, you know, that they can actually change their minds? What would you say is one of the biggest threats to that, if you will, so that we need to be aware of it so that we can shift through that and even begin that journey of healing, yes?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
So let's begin by agreeing on a few core principles of the brain. If we could just agree, even if you disagree, it's okay, just take it in. So the brain is like a computer,
mm-hmm.
and we have, and if the computer is overloaded, what happens?
Yeah,
it shuts
down.
Doesn't
work. Yeah.
So basically, we work on automatic. We have been programmed to be on automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the funny thing about our computer, our brain, is that there's programs that have been put there by people we no longer know, no longer care about.
Mm.
What about the people we do know? There's also something called self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm.
We tell ourselves certain things. Our self-talk is something else.
Yes.
But let's talk about what the brain does. The brain does not know the difference between the truth and a lie.
Mm.
The brain does not know the difference between right and wrong. And the brain does not know the difference. The brain does not know the difference between good and bad.
Mm.
Actually, good and bad, wrong and right do not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say to me, okay, Orly, until now you had me, but wrong and right and good and bad don't exist. How can you say that?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, actually, by themselves, they're not true statements. And that's where it comes to integrity.
Mm.
The true statement is something is good for me or bad for me, wrong for me or right for me. I can prove that.
Mm.
What if I say something can be good for you but bad for me? Something can be wrong for me, but right for you. Who's right?
Mm.
Nobody. It's just a true statement to ourselves.
Yes.
So we decide that.
Yeah.
And the brain does not know the difference, so it takes it for the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And also,
right?
Too, I think if you look at it that way, there are certain things, and we say this all the time, we know that something is going to lead us down to not, you know, like, say, for instance, losing weight. That's something we all, you know, we often hear talk about. And we know our actions, that eating that cake or whatever it is not good for us, yet for some reason here we are eating it, you know what I mean? And we end up beating ourselves up afterwards. And that is in its simplest form, of course, but that enables us, and often we will... and it's formed out of habit and beliefs and values, and often we will self-sabotage because we're proving that our beliefs are true. But absolutely, and I think for sure that when people are aware of that, the beautiful thing is you can reprogram a computer, so you can
mm-hmm.
reprogram the brain. Yes,
right.
Yeah,
my friend Bert Oliva says, you know, it takes 45 seconds to change a state, 21 days to break or make a habit, 6 months to create an addiction, and 9 years to create an institution.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is that if we've done something for 6 months, whatever it is, it's an addiction.
Yeah.
You can call an addiction anything. It could be something good.
Mm.
Going to the gym for 6 months is a good thing for your body, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it needs to become an addiction for your body to request it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? So when we're talking about mindset, it's the way that we think. That's an addiction. If we have self-fulfilling prophecies, if we tell ourselves we're wrong, if we tell ourselves that this is no good for me,
mm-hmm.
but then, you know, but I'm allowed to do it, or we give ourselves permission to certain things because we feel that we want the instant gratification,
mm-hmm.
we don't think about the short-term sacrifice for the long-term reward. So what happens is that it gets combobulated and the brain does not know which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Which part do I believe? Which part do I actually act on?
Yes.
So the thought creates the feeling, not the other way around.
Mm. And, you know, we also, And what?
I'm sorry.
No. What I was going to say as you're sharing that, I mean, if you think one of the things that you said, and I often will say this too to people, is the brain doesn't recognize between what's real and what's not. And how often do we wake up, you know, if frightened because we've had a nightmare, and it's like, oh, thank goodness, it was just a dream. Now, we dreamt that. So we thought that. And we had that, you know, physical reaction to that thought. It's so powerful. So that's, I mean, obviously, for the time that we have left, we're not able to go through all of the 12 powers. But let's just share three. And then, of course, we'll share with everyone how they can get access to the book and dive in deeper to each of those 12 powers. So what are three of the powers you want to speak a little bit more about today?
Well, let me share three of them very simply. One is the power of focus. Mm. When you have focus in whatever it is that you're doing and you don't let yourself derive from that,
yes,
then you can accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to naysayers. You don't listen to people who are more messed up than you are,
yes,
because they don't know the difference either. They have never been where you are. So maybe you should just focus on yourself and not mm-hmm. listen in to all of the negativity or people who know less than you.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is the power of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
If you take on something, you need to be consistently doing it in order to achieve success.
Yeah.
In anything that you do, if you don't have consistency, if you don't have the right practice,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
then guess what? You're not going to get it right no matter what you do.
Exactly.
You have to be consistent.
Yeah.
And the last but most important one for me anyway is forgiveness, the power of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for not knowing better. Forgive yourself for being in a position of the unknown and going through circumstances that are beyond your control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said it very early on, you can't control other people. So let people who hurt you, I mean, love on them, forgive them. That's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part is to forgive yourself.
Yes.
And because you keep punishing yourself. And there's no need for that.
Mm-hmm.
No, those people are no longer around to hurt you. You can choose who you hang out with. You can choose every morning to be mm-hmm. happy or unhappy. It's a choice.
Yes.
It's a decision. You can choose to forgive yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. You need to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And it will allow you to grow from there.
Yeah. Those three in itself, I think, many people can have significant change in their lives. I mean, if you think about each of those, if we are unable to forgive someone for a situation or ourselves, and that can include, as you said, either or both of those individuals, ourselves included, then often what will happen is we'll be focusing on the wrong thing. We'll have negative energy, which is going to impact us. And guess what? We're going to live that out consistently over and over and over. The blame, shame, and guilt that often come with that. So I think, you know, for many of us, we need to, you know, what are you continuously going over in your head? You need to release it. You need to forgive it, forgive the other person. And I'm a firm believer, and you would have heard this through all of the trainings that you would have gone through as well. Individuals, each and every one of us, are able to make decisions and choices based on the resources that we have available, our knowledge, and that's the same for others as well. And so often we'll take it upon ourselves that we're the reason for what they did, but it's not at all. It's that, not that we're forgetting that what they did or saying that wasn't, a traumatic thing to cause, but they did the best at the resources. You need to forgive them and move on, because otherwise we're not going to be able to focus on the right things and do that consistently. And as we do that day in, day out for 6 months, you know, if even 1 month, I mean, that's great. Then another month and another month. And before we know it, it becomes part of who we are. So those three alone, I mean, I can't wait to find out what the other 12 are. Certainly do that. This has been just amazing. And I think, again, awareness around something is the first part of the journey, if you will, to healing, isn't it? So often we don't realize, well, why am I going through this cycle all the time? As you said, that self-fulfilling prophecy, because something in that needs to change. Unless we do something that changes just something, we can't then work towards changing that. So share with people, what's the best way that they can get a copy of your book and connect with you? What's the best way?
So there's two ways. One is simple, is my website, orlyamor.com, O-R-L-Y-A-M-O-R.com. Or they can go on amazon.com and look for the 12 powers we hold within, the ultimate paradigm shift. And it comes up as the 12 powers we hold within by Orly Amor.
Fantastic. Beautiful, yeah, beautiful. And of course, if someone's listening today or watching today who would love to be able to put her message together so that she can go and speak on stages and or do virtual speaking, that's an area that you are supporting your clients in as well. So for them just to go to your website to find out more about those services that you offer?
Absolutely. They can actually just go to my website and book a 30-minute free session to just a discovery on where they are, what they need to do, and mm-hmm. and maybe I can help along the way, or maybe not, but at least a discovery session helps focus on what's next for yeah, everyone.
Fantastic. Well, you know, you beautifully shared your story, and you know, the fact that you're now helping others to shift, you know, to help forgive what happened to them, the circumstances, and really start to focus and develop that consistency around this is what I want to achieve. I think you must be doing some incredible work, and or contributing to that 200 million people that you want to really impact. So thanks once again for coming on the show and sharing your story with us. Because, you know, as we share our stories, we said so many times, we inspire others to think, you know, if it's possible for her, maybe it's possible for me, which we know it absolutely is. It's just we need to make a choice. We just need to make that choice. So thanks once again. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world, one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.